Welcome to the Cerebral Edge with strength and conditioning specialist Coach Chris. Join us for the next 30 minutes as Coach Chris shares ways to improve your health in all areas of your life. Along with his special guests, he strives to give you that cerebral edge to help make you 1% better every day. Now, here's Coach Chris.
It's Coach Chris, and it's time for the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040. Got my special guest here today, almost my co-host, I think, at some points, Joe Ruggiero. Welcome back, Joe.
Thanks for having me on, Chris.
Awesome. So Joe has 3 points he wants to get down on you guys with today. We're going to talk about these three things. We're going to talk about discipline. We're going to talk about resiliency. And we're going to talk about a little bit of self-grace. So we're going to contradict ourselves a little bit, but that's okay. It all plays in together, doesn't it, buddy?
Yeah, it all comes in, man. Everything plays a factor in life. So grace is real important, especially when it comes to discipline.
Mm-hmm. So when somebody's out there and they're just starting out and they're thinking discipline, what does that word discipline mean to you? Because I know what it means to me.
Well, to me and you, I feel like we have a really good grasp, and I don't know about you, but I constantly work on how that looks for me. So it's not something that I'm overbearing, overstressing, what I feel a lot of people think of discipline as. Like, discipline, man, that's hard, whatever it is. Right. It doesn't even have to have anything attached to it, just the name discipline, you know, seems hard.
Seems harsh.
Yeah, I mean, discipline to me is something where no matter what comes your way, whether, you know, say for an example, somebody comes into town, you have diet goal that you want. Discipline to me is, even though they're in town and they're on vacation, doesn't mean that you go ham for the whole week that they're in town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it means I am being true to what my goals are and where I want to be. So for me, I am going to watch that discipline. This is what I feel also gets a little overlooked or a little skewed here. It doesn't mean everybody around you needs to do the same thing, discipline-wise. I feel like these days a lot of people go, well, I'm disciplined in this, so you need to be disciplined in this. Because it's easier to do it, you know, people think it's easier to do it together. It's easier if everybody else is doing it. It doesn't seem as weird if everybody else is being disciplined in something. Because usually when you're disciplined in something, it's not what everybody else is doing. It's what's disciplined for you, you know, in a sense. So it's a hard place to be. It's uncomfortable. There's not a lot of people there with you. It's lonely. But it's something that is very essential for reaching any potential.
Right. And I think the basis of discipline is really all it is habits.
Yeah.
It's building habits, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you put it that way, people go, oh, that's it. It's not just something you're born with. Because people think discipline's something we're born with or not.
Yeah.
And that's not true. It's something that you have to build through forming a habit and just continually doing it, right?
Yeah.
So say you're, you know, on a diet regimen, right? And you've been on it for a long time, and then your family comes. It's just normal to go out to the restaurant and be like, hey, man, I'll get the chicken or the steak and the broccoli or whatever.
Yeah.
Versus getting, you know, all the breads and stuff like that.
Something fried or whatever.
Right,
yeah.
Or something fried. And then, you know, you might have a family member look at you kind of funny sometimes, you know, because you're ordering something a little more healthy. And they're like, live a little bit. And you're like, this is just what I do.
Yeah.
Right? It's nothing. I'm still having a good time because I'm with you. Right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Nothing to do with, you know, I have to pull out this magic unicorn discipline out of thin air, right? It's just something I've built and I've laid a foundation. So when somebody comes to you, Joe, and they're first starting off, you know, working with you, what's the first areas that you start to build habits in their life on?
So actually, right, what you said was a great example. So discipline's 100% mindset with all that. And what you did there is a tight scenario when you have somebody saying, why don't you live a little bit, you know what I mean, in that moment. Well, normally that's because somebody's looking at your discipline.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives them a little check themselves, because what you're doing is you're setting an example. That's a hard place for everybody to be in that party.
Mm-hmm.
So what I like to do is create a habit of self-talk in that circumstance, because that's going to come up no matter what, who you are. So when somebody says, you know, live a little, or like, it's fine once in a while, or why can't you eat that? I eat it all the time and I'm fine. So then they got the comparison thing going on. What you need to do is just have in your head a way of checking yourself. So whether it's repeating your goals, whether you're like, I'm strong, this is what I'm doing for me, and say it to yourself. Mm-hmm. You don't need to say it to anybody else. Just so that you can constantly keep coming back to your center mm-hmm. with your discipline mm-hmm. versus allowing other people to push in. So first thing I always go for is a habit of self-talk within that discipline.
Right.
And that's going to help. That's going to really help for it to be, to make a difference. If you don't have that mindset, then all the other type of stuff in the discipline, say working wise, will start falling apart because other people will have influences on picking at your discipline. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So I feel like that's a great one is mindset, first habit. Second would be obtainable habits within your discipline. So a lot of people like to say, oh, I need to be disciplined. I got to lose 50 pounds. So they cut out all this crazy stuff. You know, it's too much discipline. So obtainable steps within your discipline. So if it's a habit of waking up in the morning and you drink a glass of water and that's your discipline, where you're just starting off your day with a glass of water, That's all you need to start with. If it's now you're starting your day with a glass of water, you're cooking two eggs and bacon, and then you're going to have your lunch or your snack ready, and then your lunch is going to be this, and this is going to be this, and that's how you start off with discipline, it's a really hard place to maintain. Mm-hmm. So discipline needs obtainable small steps. Mm-hmm. And I would say that those are the two building blocks that I use within the beginning of building discipline, because anything further than that, you're starting to lose the first steps. You're starting to lose the ability to take small obtainable steps, and you're starting to do leaps and bounds, which are really hard within discipline. Mm-hmm. I think of the word discipline and habit the same way as I think of motivation and inspiration. Mm-hmm. Discipline is the beginning, like motivation, like inspiration is to the habit. The habit is forever. Inspiration is forever. You always are inspired to be the best you can for your kids if you truly love them. Mm-hmm. So, but you can't be motivated just by saying, oh, my boy plays ball, so I want to be in shape enough to play ball with him.
Right.
That's going to die out. You know what I mean? Be like, ah, whatever. I don't even play ball with him today. You know, it's a little rough. So I think of those as the same. So we don't want to overtax that discipline. So it's really important, small attainable steps, and really focusing on that self-talk.
It has to be important.
Has to be important.
Right? So you can sit there and go, I want to gain 10 pounds of muscle and I want to lose 20 pounds of fat, right?
Yeah.
But why do you want to do that? Right? Yeah. What's the purpose behind you losing that 20 pounds of fat and gaining 10? What are you going to be able to do? What is it you want to do? Right?
With that, yeah.
And how are you going to do it to where it's, you know, something that pulls you to go to the gym or pulls you to go outside and do a workout or pulls you to get out of bed in the morning and do it, mm-hmm. right? Because you're not just going to push yourself. You can't push yourself into anything. You have to be pulled to it, right?
Yeah.
It has to be something that's like a calling.
It's got to be a natural gravitational pull. Like, say, when you come home, what do you normally do? You probably go to the refrigerator after you put your stuff down, right? It has to be that subconscious of a pull.
So at first, like, when I tell people to grab, you know, a strength coach or something like that, it's to get that pull.
Yeah.
To get that initial pull, because they're going to be there waiting for you. So then you have that in your mind going, okay, I have to wake up because they're going to be waiting for me. And if I don't wake up, they're going to be texting and calling me, right?
Yeah, yep. That's another great step in the discipline is having accountability. Mm-hmm. So if you have a hard time building discipline with mindset and with attainable habits, is that accountability. And then with those things, one of the other things that we want to hit on, and I feel like this is a great place for it, is that resiliency. Mm-hmm. Because you're going to find resiliency in the things that you naturally are pulled to. You're going to push through hard times. You're going to make it through the weekend that, say, everybody's indulging around you. You're going to make it through, say, a slight injury that you have, but you're going to do the workouts that you can keep going on, you know? Mm-hmm. Having that mindset that you were just talking about leads into the resiliency to help support the discipline.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then again, with building habits, accountability, having just a partner to do it with is awesome, right? So I remember being in the military, right? And we're all sitting there doing push-ups and we're doing sit-ups and we're doing a bunch of stuff we don't want to do.
Yeah.
but drill sergeant's like, hey, if one of you falls out, we have 50 more of these to do. You're going to be more likely to go, all right.
Yeah.
Even though he's going to make you do the 50 anyway.
I mean, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, he's lying.
It's a game. You know, but, you know, you're more apt to try to push through that, right? You're more apt to be pulled to do that because of something else, right?
And then plus what you just said there, that was an attainable goal that he set for you.
Yeah.
And even though it's
measurable.
Just, it's measurable, exactly. So you're like, oh, I just need 50. And then if he gives you 50 after that, it's still another measurable goal. So that's what I'm talking about with obtainable steps in whatever it is that you're trying to push through discipline-wise.
Yeah, so it's really good that you break down the habit really small for them at first.
Yes.
Right, to where it's like, hey, drink water every day this week.
Yeah.
Right, this is your coach's tip for the week.
Yeah.
Get up, drink water with some salt and some potassium in it. Right?
I mean, it takes you far. So, like, a lot of people want to jump into things 150%. But if you think about it, how did we all jump into life? Slowly, surely learning things, understanding things as a kid all the way up until we are now. Life is short, but life is long too. So we have a long time to figure these things out. You're not going to be all of a sudden Arnold Schwarzenegger in a month.
No.
You know what I mean? So what you need to do is to have that understanding to be like, okay, if I just start drinking water, I'm going to drink just water. That's going to be easy for me. I'm going to get that in. Now I have that set. In 2 weeks, I'll add another thing. And then before you know it, you got 6 months down the road, you have like 10, 12 things that are locked in solid that are really good attainable habits.
Yep.
And you don't even have to think about them. You just come home and do them, like going to the fridge.
And that's why the name of the show that I decided to go with was 1% better every day, right?
Yeah.
It's not 450% better every day because it's not attainable.
Yeah.
But 1% is pretty easy, right? It's like, okay, I'm going to drink water this week, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks, add one more thing, right? I'm going to add a 10-minute walk, right?
Yep.
Then 2 more weeks, I'll add 2 10-minute walks. A couple more weeks, now I'm up to 3 10-minute walks, right?
Yeah.
A couple more weeks, it's like, I'm going to spend 5 minutes working out.
Yep.
Right? Next week, maybe I add another 5 minutes to that workout.
Yeah.
So it's slowly building your habit. It's slowly building ways to attain your goal that you're after.
And you'll have more understanding of yourself within those slow builds and understand what's going to work best for you than if you just jump into a giant pile of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's why a lot of people fail.
Yeah.
Right? Is they're like, I'm going to, you know, have this perfect meal plan every single day. I'm going to work out 2 hours every day, and I'm going to do an hour of cardio on top of that.
It's too much.
And next thing you know, they're a week in, and they're like, I've only lost like a pound. Is it really worth it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, we're here on the Cerebral Edge talking to Joe Ruggiero about discipline, resiliency, and self-grace. We're going to get into resiliency and self-grace when we come back here on the Cerebral Edge on 1040 KPPF. We are back on the Cerebral Edge on Power Talk 1040 KPPF. Back with my main man, Joe Ruggiero.
What's up?
All right. So right now we're going to get into resiliency and then a little bit of self-grace. So walk us into resiliency, Joe. What does it mean? What do people need to do to help build that?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not even sure if a lot of people understand what resiliency is, you know, itself. But resiliency is that thing that gets you through those hard times, pushes you even though you don't think you can go any further.
Mm-hmm.
It helps you. It also, from a lot of people, will give you a little space to be like, okay, what do I need to do and how bad is this really? And then assess and move forward. Resiliency is a place that is, again, you have to learn how to be in it and how to be resilient. You know, a lot of, say, things with resiliency is taught when we're growing up and stuff. So we see like our parents work through things and how they start to break things down in a tangible way to get through them. And that's like the first understanding of resiliency that we have. And then the resiliency that we start to build is through our own experiences that we have in our life, like having a really hardship, having an injury, or having something that really set us back financially, or something that's just extremely hard in your life that you have worked through, losing a loved one, to get to this point where something else comes up, but it's nowhere near as bad as what you mm-hmm. did go through. So you have the resiliency that you obtained in that past moment to easily work through the hardship now.
So I would say the only way you can really build resiliency is that if you have a fall off and yeah. you come back from it.
Yep. You gotta fail. You gotta get out there, try. You gotta fail. You gotta do things that you're uncomfortable with, and that is what builds resiliency.
Mm-hmm. So when you're taking a client through a workout, right, say they're having a really hard time, you know, with push-ups,
mm-hmm.
and they get 5 the first time, right? And then the goal is 10. We'll say the goal is 10, right? So they get 5, and they're really upset with themselves, right? The only way they can build that is if they come back and get 6.
Exactly.
Right. And then maybe come back next week, get 7, then get 8, then get 9, then eventually work their way up to 10, right?
Yeah.
Because people always hear resiliency, right? But it's always kind of like this term that people kind of know, but they really don't know what it is, right?
It's not accepting that 5 is the only number that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Resiliency is not accepting that this is it. Mm-hmm. This is the end. I can't figure it out from here. Like,
exactly.
I can't do it. Resiliency is pushing yourself, even if you need to step back from it and you go and then you step back into it, mm-hmm. that is still resiliency no matter the time, as long as you always go back to what you were doing and take it head on.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you accept, like, oh, you know, I just can't do any more than 5. 5's my max.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you lost your resiliency. You lost your drive, your push. You, in a sense, to me, it feels you gave up on yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of goes back into the self-talk you were talking about.
Yep.
Right? And you had mentioned something about standing in, what was it about eating or whatever?
Like having somebody say something on what you're eating, like live a little bit, or why would you eat that? Or you feeling like, oh, you know, it's just the weekend, I can eat that.
Mm-hmm. And in that situation, what would you say to yourself to get yourself out of that situation?
Well, like, I can
and then say to the other person.
Yeah. Okay. So like give you a quick example. So last night I ended up bringing my father back to the airport and I didn't get to eat anything in the time. I thought I was going to eat something with him. Airport, you know, never runs smooth over there. So we ended up being late for things. Didn't work out that for me to eat. So I'm looking for things that I want to fit in my way of eating, my diet for me. And I can't find anything on the go. You know, it's fast food. So I was like, you know, screw it. I'm going to hit the Jimmy John's that's open, you know?
Okay.
So I go to the Jimmy, I head to Jimmy John's and it's closed. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, I'm thinking to myself, maybe this is telling me something. You know, this is how my mind works. Maybe this is telling me something. You know, maybe I shouldn't eat fast food, whatever. But I'm like, screw it. Next best thing, let's try Wendy's. I'll hit Wendy's, maybe just get some chicken or something. Fly over there and they're taking a very long time. They even said that's up to 35 minutes. You said, you know what? I'm just going to go home and I'll eat food when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that had a lot of things that were in my way within that. But I could have gone to a McDonald's. Mm-hmm. I could have gone to a Burger King. They were open. They were running people through like nothing. I saw those things. Mm-hmm. But I took the signs that I needed to just say, you know what? I've already worked my way halfway back from Denver to the Springs by now, stopping at these places. There's no need for it. And for me, having the grinder from Jimmy John's or having the chicken from Wendy's would have been fine in that moment. I really probably wouldn't have wanted to do it, but I could have gone anyway, gas station, McDonald's, Burger King, the things that are open 24 hours. But I said, you know what? There's something telling me. There's a sign. There's something that says you should just go home and eat. Mm-hmm. So I listened to it. So I want to give that example of like my own doing. Now, say you were up at, you were going to a buffet. You're looking at the buffet. You got a bunch of mozzarella sticks, got a bunch of chicken and stuff in there. Some of it's fried chicken, some of it's grilled chicken. This is what I would say. If you have a diet and you are, or if you have a plan and some goals in mind, when you're looking at the stuff, you could take into consideration what people might say at the table. That might be one thing, but it's just what they'll say, and that doesn't really have an effect on you. Mm-hmm. It's just people's words and their feelings. Mm-hmm. Opinions, everybody's got one.
Yep.
So now take that out of this situation. Think about it for yourself. If I have this mozzarella stick, how do I feel versus that grilled piece of chicken?
Mm-hmm, right.
You know, so start thinking about how you feel, how food affects you, or how much it's worth to you. Is that mozzarella stick really going to be worth setting you back a little bit?
Mm-hmm.
So think of the worth in it and the quality. A lot of this, too, I always come back to quality. If you are working on yourself in a place where you are standing at a buffet and you are contemplating what you should grab or not, go towards quality. You are already in a good mindset to think this way. Don't be a Ford Focus, be a Mercedes-Benz. Feed yourself the premium, not the regular.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the talk that you need to come up with. That is what I say to myself. That's what I've had a lot of people end up. Everybody has a different way of talking with themselves and catching it. But to understand if it's worth it, if the quality is worth it, and if this is something I want to do, then you can go for it. But if it doesn't hit any of those, stay away from it. Even if it's something you want to do, like say, I know this chocolate mousse cake is not something that's good for me, but I want it. Like I really, really want it. Then go for it.
Right.
But if you don't want the chocolate mousse cake and you're kind of iffy about it, don't go for it just to go for it.
Right. Because
you eat chocolate mousse after dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so like those are the thoughts that you want to have in your mind. Like practice talking to yourself. It is huge when it comes to discipline and achieving things.
Yeah, I mean most decisions in your head, right? If it's either a hell yes or a hell no.
Yeah.
Right? It's either like if you're iffy about it, it's probably hell no, right?
Yep.
Or if you're just like I want the cake, eat the cake, right? But same scenario, like I've got kids, right? So how hard that is to eat healthy with kids, right? It's tough. So we went to a little Gunther Tooties, right down on Powers there.
Yeah.
And we were sitting there, and I'm just thinking, man, I really, in my head, I'm just like, I just don't want to feel like crap after I eat this stuff.
Yeah, I feel you.
So I'm like, okay, what do I do, right? So how do I order so that way I'm not, you know, feeling like crap afterwards? So I just got the patties with the lettuce wrap.
Yeah.
Right? And then I was like, and then instead of fries, I got cottage cheese.
Yep.
Right? Water, right?
Instead of soda, yeah.
Yeah, instead of soda. Burger tasted just as good. Right?
Yep.
Without the bread. Actually, I think it tastes better because you get more of the meat flavor than, you know, get the bread and the meat in there. Ate all my stuff, and I was able to sprint out the door with my daughter, right?
Yep.
And you know, have her laugh right on my shoulders and stuff like that because I felt good to do it. If I had all that other crap, I'd have been like, ugh.
Sluggish, yeah.
Sluggish, right?
But I love what you did when you talked to yourself in that moment.
Yeah.
You're like, how do I want to feel after this?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, so that's a great way for a lot of people to go into it. I don't think people even, so many people probably lose that or don't even have the ability to understand that you are thinking about how you are feeling after you're eating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, how do I want to feel after I eat lunch? That's not a normal way of talking. And I feel like that's something that we all need to start having more in our own vocabulary is, How do I want to feel after I eat this?
It becomes lost.
Yeah, right? Because we're always looking for the beginning game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I want McDonald's because you know how it tastes and stuff. You're always looking for the front part. Well, the backside's the part that actually is going to affect you. The backside's where you get the benefit or you get it taken away from you, you know? So the front is just that. It's kind of like where we become weak because we just want to have that reward of some sort.
Yeah, absolutely. And then this is kind of where we're going to talk, contradict ourselves a little bit, right?
Yeah.
With talking about self-grace. So
yeah.
When should people know when it's self-grace and not just feeling sorry for themselves and indulging.
So self-grace is huge in the success of discipline. And it's because, like, say, like I was talking about that chocolate mousse. Well, say for dinner, you didn't have the mozzarella sticks. You didn't go for the Jell-O and stuff. You didn't do all that stuff in the buffet. You went and had some vegetables, some fried rice, and some chicken. So you're doing a lot better. So in grace, you really wanted that mousse. You've been looking forward to having that mousse with these people for a couple days now. So that actually has some meaning to you. Like, you're just looking to eat that one thing. If it's been on your mind for more than a couple days too, then that would be a thing that I would say, there's your grace. Mm-hmm. You ate that mousse. That's the grace that you're giving yourself.
Perfect.
You know, so it's really a give and take. You don't want to have too much grace by any means, but right. The same goes towards like a workout. Like we were talking before, if you have a schedule of 3 workouts a week, but it is really ideal for you to only get 2 in because of your schedule, mm-hmm. but you want 3, 2 is what you are going to get. 2 is where we're going to stay. That's going to lock it in solid. But the grace is you want to get the 3rd, but the 3rd is a bonus day. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep that as your bonus. So if you get it in, that's bonus. If you don't, it's all right because you're getting 2 normally. So we got to find those graceful periods because life happens. Life is real. You got to be able to work with that. And we don't want to go into life saying you're never going to eat chocolate mousse cake. You know what I mean? Like, just
what
for
kind
an example.
Of life would that be?
No, seriously.
Anyway, it's been great chatting with my good friend and fellow coach, Joe Ruggiero. How do people get a hold of you?
So you guys can hit me up. You give me a call anytime, 802-384-9992. Gmail, which is dkstrong719@gmail.com. Or you can find me on Instagram, Different Kind of Strong.
Awesome. So we had some great tips on discipline, right? Making things small, building small habits that will lead you to discipline. We had resiliency, you know, self-talk is big in that.
Got to push through.
Got to push through things when you're failing, right? And then 3, give yourself a little bit of self-grace, right? Don't get too hard on yourself.
Yeah, and you're human.
And you're human. So it's been a great show. I'm so glad you guys joined me here today on the Cerebral Edge. Join me next Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 10:30 a.m. on Power Talk 1040. I'll have another great guest with more insight on how we can all achieve that cerebral edge goal of making you 1% better every day. Stay strong.
This has been the Cerebral Edge on KPPF. Have a question for Coach Chris? Email him at cerebraledge1@gmail.com. That's cerebraledge, the number 1@gmail.com. Join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. and Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for another episode of The Cerebral Edge with Coach Chris on Power Talk 1040 KPPF.